Where there is no vision, the people perish. With that quote from Proverbs 29, the Catholic bishops of England and Wales have launched a new publication presenting principles of the Church's social teaching as an essential contribution to the vision of a healthy British society. As the nation heads towards a general election, the bishops say this shared vision must look beyond the details of party politics. In fact, they argue the broad economic and social problems facing the country cannot just be left to government to solve, but must be the shared responsibility of all. The new document was presented at a press conference in London on Wednesday by the President and Vice President of the Bishops' Conference, Archbishops Vincent Nicholls of Westminster and Peter Smith of Cardiff. Just ahead of the launch, I spoke to Archbishop Nicholls to find out more about the message contained in the document entitled Choosing the Common Good.
The essential message is that we wish to say and illustrate and build on the fact that in this country there are many reasons to be hopeful. It calls upon the whole of society to recognise the depth of generosity and compassion and goodwill that is in the English character, and to try and bring that to the surface more consistently. It comes and is seen evidently in times of crisis, either internationally or locally, but then sometimes we sink back and it fails to give a character to the culture in which we live. And in this document, we try to offer some of the language and the thought patterns of Catholic social teaching around the common good, around the concept of integral human development, and to say this can give a framework for our reflection and debate. And then also we say, but action is required. And the action that's required is that we live by the best in our character. In other words, we exercise some of those classic virtues of justice and of courage and of right judgment or prudence and of temperance. And it's the exercise of the virtues that will help to recreate in our society the level of trust that is necessary for effective politics. And that trust has been eroded somewhat in recent years.
As you say, there is a very serious problem, or at least there is an image problem anyway, because as you say, there is a certain view of broken Britain which seems to be quite pervasive today. How do you contrast that, first of all, and begin to rebuild this trust that you're talking about?
Well, I don't accept the term broken Britain. I don't think there is evidence that Britain is broken. If we wish to develop an analogy along that lines, then I would say in the body of Britain, perhaps some of the arteries are a bit clogged, are a bit furred up. And therefore, the faith in one another, the trust, the level of generosity and spontaneity is all a bit slowed down and clogged down a bit. So what do you do in those circumstances? You try and get some more exercise and clear those arteries so that what is there can flow. And I think that exercise that we need is the willingness on everybody's part to really put their best foot forward and to build deliberately and systematically on a vision of a common good and on a life that is characterized by those virtues. And if everybody chooses to do that, then I think we have the context in which political parties can really do their stuff as well.
Who is this message mainly aimed at? Is it the Catholic voters? Is it the politicians?
Well, it's a message which is aimed, as the photograph on the cover suggests, to anyone who is prepared to listen. I hope this will find some resonance in people's lives. And if it does, then I think we do well to look to the parties to see how they might respond. Obviously, it's directed to Catholics because it draws on Catholic social teaching. But our experience here is that Catholic social teaching, when carefully presented, is something that others find very helpful as well. And so we offer this document widely, but certainly to the Catholics in these lands.
Thank you.
Catholic social teaching is often called the church's best kept secret, isn't it? You're really claiming that it has pretty much all the answers to society's problems, aren't you, in this message?
No, this message doesn't suggest particular solutions to many of the problems. In fact, it highlights some of the problems and acknowledges their difficulty. It is very much for those who exercise political leadership and therefore political power to come up with the solutions. But what we're trying to do here is highlight some of the key themes that are in the background, that are, if you like, fundamental to the shaping of a vision, out of which then those with political leadership have to fashion realistic responses and solutions. So I think we're very clear that the role of the church is to offer insight, is to offer a vision, but it's not one of proposing particular solutions to the problems of a society at any one time.
And yet it mentions many areas of concern for the church, from the right to life to poverty, immigration, ecology, marriage and family life. How do you go about the process, or how did you manage to, if you like, condense these many issues into one document?
Well, I think if you look at the choice that has been made of the more specific issues, you will see that they all relate directly to that quality of life between people. So they all are related to the health of a society. It's the economy that has to generate its wealth. It's the political processes that have to govern its power. But the health of a society depends on how people live together, how they relate together. And all of those specific things are precisely about that. They're about the responsibility for life itself. They're about responsibility to the elderly and the poor. They're about the importance of marriage and family as the basic place in which people learn to build what we call social capital. It's about the environment, because that's an intensely human issue, the human ecology as well as the natural economy. And of course, it's about the role of faith communities in a pluralist society like ours.
I imagine this is quite likely to be seen as something of a condemnation, though, of politicians and bankers and the failure of other institutions. Is there something of that in this?
Well, clearly, we do face a situation in which public trust has been shaken. But we admit in this document that this is an experience of the Catholic Church, too. And we know what it's like when trust is betrayed. We know how much damage that does, and we know something of the hard work that is needed to rebuild that trust. So we're not offering cheap condemnations, because this is something within our own experience, and it's difficult and it's demanding, but it is possible. And I hope in this document we put forward some of the vision and some of the practical steps that everybody might take in order to rebuild trust. Choosing the common good is an invitation to everybody in our society to think about how they live. It's also perhaps about how they vote. But first of all, choosing the common good is the invitation we offer to people about their way of life.
You're looking ahead to the forthcoming election. Do you think there is such a thing as a Catholic vote in Britain today?
No. I think Catholics vote according to their convictions on the agendas that are put forward by the different parties. We have never in this country had any tradition of aligning Catholic votes with a particular party. We want to support Christians and Catholics in every party, in all of the main parties, and ensure them that we engage seriously with them, and we would expect a serious engagement back.
And my thanks there to Archbishop Vincent Nicholls of Westminster, President of the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales.